More of Idaho Matters on this Friday. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Tomorrow in Boise, a group of healthcare workers are planning to gather at the Capitol steps for a rally in support of Black Lives Matter. Speakers are set to address the connection between systemic racism and healthcare here in the United States. One of those speakers at the podium will be Boise native Devin Gaskins. He is a medical student at the University of Washington as part of the WAMI program. Devin, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Well, first off, congrats on pursuing your medical degree. Can you tell us just a little bit about how medical school is going and really what inspired you to get on that path? Because that's a big commitment.
Yeah. So first year was great. As of last Friday, I actually completed my first year. So now an MS2, which sounds crazy. I guess what kind of set me on the path was, so my mom, she's a labor and delivery nurse, and she actually worked as a surgical technician for most of my upbringing. So I was always kind of growing up with tales of the OR and patient experiences and stuff like that. But I guess what really made me want to pursue medicine and pursue being a doctor was my parents had to work very hard to kind of set me and my siblings up for the opportunities we had. And they just put a lot of work in for us so that we could pursue, you know, whatever passions we had. And so I kind of recognized that I had this great opportunity to do something big thanks to the efforts of my mom and dad, and thought that being a doctor would be, you know, one of the best ones, one of the ways I could kind of pay that work forward.
So Devin, in response to George Floyd's killing, you wrote a piece in the University of Idaho student newspaper. It's titled Pre-Existing Condition. And I want to read just a little bit of it for our listeners. And so this is a quote. It says, "My autopsy report may say I succumbed to cardiac arrest from the bullets that ripped holes in my heart. This is incorrect. Those holes had already existed. My report may say I died due to asphyxiation. This is also untrue. It was not my trachea crushed under the weight of the officer's knee on my neck or my lungs collapsing as my rib cage splintered against the asphalt that killed me. It was the suffocating atmosphere of a childhood of prejudice and isolation that constricted my airway." That is powerful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Talk to me about what made you put words to paper like that, you know, pen to paper, and that just, I mean, it breaks your heart listening to it.
Mm-hmm. I guess what was the main thing that made me write that piece was a couple of days after George Floyd's death, and when I was reading the autopsy results and saw kind of the response that a lot of the medical community was having to some of the claims that were made in the initial report, it got me thinking to a lot of the feelings I've had growing up as a Black person in Idaho, and a lot of the conversations I've had with a lot of my friends who were white, and I kind of realized that I'd never been able to put my thoughts and feelings into words personally up until at that moment when that essay was kind of formulating in my brain. And a lot of that reason was because, you know, I grew up trying to express, you know, my fears about what might happen if I'm pulled over by a police officer, or just dealing with racism and hate speech and kind of how that weighed on me as, you know, a child growing up. And I'd share these thoughts with a lot of my, you know, friends and classmates who were white, and they just didn't get it. They just didn't, you know, understand. And a lot of the time, rather than it being them trying to listen and begin to understand, I was met with a lot of yeah, but statements. You know, I'd make a claim where, you know, I'm afraid if I get pulled over by a police officer that I might not make it home that night. And I'd get, yeah, but couldn't that happen to anyone, not just Black people? And it'd be a lot of statements like that where I kind of realized that I'd been kind of, I guess gaslighted or gaslit into believing uh-huh. that, you know, maybe I'm making too big of a deal of this. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of other Black people to bounce these concerns off of. And so I kind of started thinking to myself, like, yeah, you know, maybe I'm making too much of a big deal of this. Maybe I am too worried. I am too sensitive. And then, you know, it kind of made
me
numb.
But you're not. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're not.
No, you're fine.
I think it's a matter of, I think, white people needing to understand and acknowledge that that is a legitimate concern and fear that you live with on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so just, you know, seeing, I kind of became numb to a lot of the murders that happened in between, you know, Trayvon Martin and George Floyd, but it was the outrage that occurred right after George Floyd's murder that, you know, something I guess kind of snapped in me, and I came to this realization that, no, these are my feelings. These are validated, and this is what I want people to know. This is kind of what I've carried since, you know, I was age 8 having these conversations with my dad about, you know, obstacles I could face. And so that was kind of what pushed me to writing the piece.
And then, you know, I'm curious as to what you're hoping with tomorrow's rally with healthcare professionals, because again, there is disparity when it comes to healthcare. I mean, the prime example we're looking at right now is with COVID-19. I mean, we know that minority populations are being, you know, adversely affected by this so much more than white communities, and the rates of death are more. So this is just one example in all of our faces right now that, again, that disparate treatment when it comes to access to healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you hoping, you know, to not accomplish tomorrow, but I guess make aware?
Yeah, I guess just the general message, which is kind of what you just stated, is that, you know, these health disparities that are affecting, you know, the Black community, they're very real and they're very lethal. You know, you mentioned COVID already, but, you know, an example could be the increased infant mortality rates that Black children face. African Americans are more likely to die from premature heart disease. You know, pain treatment is a big issue. We mismanage Black women's pain. We have to do away with this, you know, angry Black woman trope that plagues a community where you have a woman coming in who's a person of color who has an actual, you know, medical issue going on, and we just fail to provide the proper pain treatment. And so it's bringing the light that when we talk about health disparities, we're not talking about Black people facing longer waiting times in the ER lobby or more Black people coming away from a doctor visit with unsatisfactory reviews. We're talking about things that, you know, are really affecting people's health and are, you know, causing people to die. And the sad thing, the most sinister thing about it is that this is happening, but it's happening with, you know, population of healthcare workers who are very educated, are very caring, you know, very good at doing their job. Mm-hmm. But the terrible, sinister thing about, you know, implicit bias is that even when you think you're doing right by your patient, you might not. And that's why it's so important right now to have these conversations about, you know, it's not enough to be not racist. We're having conversations about what you need to do to be anti-racist, to have these conversations, to take a critical look at what you're doing, what we're doing, so that we can, you know, protect these at-risk populations, you know, to the utmost degree.
Right. And to have healthcare professionals who are already on the front lines right now, you know, take another stand and to support this. Well, we are running out of time, but I would love to know what your plans are after medical school. Will you return to Idaho or go somewhere else?
You know, I think that's the plan right now. I've grown up here my entire life, so I'm looking forward to maybe getting out of state for residency just to kind of, you know, see the world a little bit. But in my time growing up here, I've only met one other Black doctor, Ty Waters, who actually reached out to meet me when I was doing my my med school application journey. He's actually one of the speakers tomorrow as well. And so, you know, he's the only one I've met. So I think I'd like to help bump up that number and help bump up the amount of Black Idaho med students as well. So I think I'd like to come back and practice.
I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to talk with us. Just really appreciate your perspective. We have been speaking with University of Washington Medical School student and Boisean Devin Gaskins. He will, of course, be a speaker at tomorrow's rally in support of Black Lives Matter among healthcare professionals. Devin, thanks for the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters. Appreciate you participating and being a part of our program. It is Friday, Father's Day this weekend. So if you have a dad to celebrate, whether alive or not, I hope you take some time to celebrate those special men in your lives. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here Monday.